This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
اليوم شرور من شهر رمضان المبارك 1444 الموافق ل 11 من شهر ابريل 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أو today there was no class right so today inshallah we'll be dealing with the question being asked previously and those that we'll be asking inshallah today I hope
can we start with the first one do we know the etiquettes of etiquette
I mean the order of the questions. You have the questions ready.
Yeah.
So inshallah, we'll be dealing with the questions inshallah. And I hope it's going to be very short class, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, so that we can have time to go and begin our preparation for the, what do you call this? The night, the first night of the last 10 days of Ramadan, inshallah. So let's see, what do we have?
Inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة العالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اعتكاف is one of those excellent and extraordinary activities that a Muslim is supposed to be engaged with in last 10 days of Ramadan. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did the itikaf. And at first he was doing it in the first 10 days of Ramadan, looking for Laylatul Qadr, but he was told that you cannot find Laylatul Qadr in the first 10 days. Then he moved to the second 10 days of Ramadan, and he was told that the Laylatul Qadr is not there. So he moved to the last 10 days of Ramadan, and he was informed that this is the only time you can find Laylatul Qadr. So itikaf is a strong connection between al-abd wa rabbi. بين العبد وربه, where you go to the masjid, you stay away from anything except remembrance of Allah, recitation of the Quran, and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wajibat and the sunnah prayers. I mean, you're doing nothing in that masjid except that which is ibadah. You stay away from dunya completely, from A to Z. And you don't go out of the masjid until you finish. And you're not supposed to go out by any reason except ihajat al-insan, the need of the human being. That means you have to go to the bathroom, you want to go and take shower, you need to go and buy food. There is nobody to bring the food for you. You can go. And Aisha is to go out, but when she passed through somebody who is sick at home, she says salam to him and greet him and ask him about his condition while she's walking. She doesn't stay if she's in a state of itikaf. So the first adab, you know, there are no much adab except those few that I will mention. The first one is ikhlas lillahi azza wa jal. A person to make sure that he is doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a waste of time for somebody to leave his family and he leave his job, leave so many things, simply to do things which are not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a waste of time. And apart from the waste of time is shirk. You know, for a person to have somebody in his brain, you know, intended other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first adab is to do the itikaf sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing is to do it correctly, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to the itikaf in the first 10 days of Ramadan. That means this tonight, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get inside the masjid. But the itikaf begins, according to the best opinion of the scholars, his itikaf begins after Fajr. Yeah, after Fajr. So tomorrow when we pray Fajr, that's the time when the itikaf begins. It doesn't begin from this night. So you can just go and pray Fajr and then begin your itikaf. And that's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to also do the itikaf until then. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not go out until the time the moon is being sighted. Yeah, and also it is sunnah to leave the masjid when you see the moon, to leave them as they back home to get ready for the tomorrow's prayer, to get ready for the Eid. Some scholars said it is mustahab for you to stay in the masjid until Eid. So from the masjid, you just go to the Eid and then come back to the family and take the ritual. But this is wrong. The sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not support this. It is a virtue and adab that when you finish, when the moon has been sighted, you just go home, you know, to do the other activities which are also acts of worship. Sharing the happiness with the family and also preparing for the Eid, washing yourself, you know, and going to the masjid in that way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded us to do. And also to get busy with the ibadat, not to be busy with anything except the ibadat. The scholars argue concerning the person who even study books, the Islamic books, such as tafsir and on and on. Yeah, I would suggest to avoid conflict and controversy of the scholars. Stay away from them. Just Quran and dhikr. Although studying also is ibadah, but do those ones that are very straightforward in terms of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dhikr. Unless if you are too exhausted, you can't go with the dhikr or the Quran or the prayers, you're tired, but you don't want to sleep at that time, and you bring any book of tafsir to gain knowledge and to have the tadabbur, inshallah, I hope there is nothing concerning that matter. So these are a few things that I will say, you know, concerning the itikaf, and I really advise not to go to itikaf with friends. Usually we announce we go with everyone, and then that place also will be the place of what? Hadith. Rather than itikaf, then we end up just talking to each other until the end of the itikaf. Allah grant us good. Yes, Raya. Next question. That's last question.
I have a question. If we're praying Aisha today, tonight, then there is Taraweeh in the masjid. So is it better that we pray Taraweeh and also pray the Qiyam, or we just...
choose one. The best is to choose one. Best is to choose one. If they are praying the Tahajjud, Ihdash al-Rakat, I will choose for you to delay, wait, and pray the last one. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you get the whole night.
Do I have to keep my finger in motion for the whole period of reciting?
Tashahud.
Yeah.
That's the best opinion. Shall I put it like this? Not like this. Yeah. People from North and West Africa, many of them, they put... But the best is to put like this. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sotaha, he said he put like this, and then he fold. He did not say he twist on the side. He said he put both of them like this, and then he folded one of them. Yeah. Either ala shakli, no, not like this. He folded like this. Like this, he just folded. Either like this, you create this circle thing, or he does like this. Yeah. Both are okay. And there is a text, you know, it depends on how authentic you see it. They say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuharrik. So you do the tahrik, not in the way it distracts people. Yeah. Yeah. You see different types of people. Let's just move a bit. Yeah, that's it, inshallah. Until the end of the show. There are some, you raise up the finger. There are some who says it remain like this. Until the time you say Ashhadu Allah, you say Ashhadu Anni. Another opinion says when you mention the name of Allah only. Another opinion says when you are making dua. Because they say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should be asbihi kana yadu'u biha. He's making dua with. But wallahi, wallahu alam al-aqrab, the closest one is one that says you put from the beginning until then, and you shake it a bit, and you look at it also. Yeah, when you're sitting in the shawl, you're looking for, you're supposed to be looking at your finger.
So when the Imam says salam, can we get it off? Can we keep the hand straight and back it? Or should we just keep it like that?
When which Imam?
When the Imam says salam,
mm-hmm.
Salam alaykum. we close it?
He just says salam.
Should we keep it like that?
He just says salam. Yeah, because to my knowledge, they do not mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will first put his hand first and then say the salam. Or the companions, when they hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they stop doing this, they put it like this and then say the salam. Just say the salam. Yeah, whether you do it when your hand is like this or it is not. The point is, you finish your tashahhud.
Next question is,
It's a controversial matter amongst the scholars whether we do it or not, and who do we do for? The closest opinion concerning the Salat al-Ghaib is the one that says we do it for the person who did not receive the prayer. Rasulullah never did it, to my knowledge, except for Najashi. And Najashi died in the land of Kufar. You get it? That is a great possibility that nobody prays for him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. Yeah. For instance, the aeroplane that crashes, and we have our brothers there. We do the Salat al-Ghaib for them. Do you get the idea? We do the Salat al-Ghaib for them. Yeah, that's the best opinion. That is another opinion which is closer to this. Yeah, when the imam, the leader, asks us to pray the Salat al-Ghaib for somebody who is important in the country. They're taking this also from the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, everyone should pray for Najashi. I mean, he made the prayer for the Najashi. Najashi is a very important person in Islam. He converted to Islam, but in secret. Yeah. You get it? So the best opinion is the one that says only the one who did not receive the prayer. You get it? If you add another opinion, is the one that the authority says, we pray. So we just follow the command of the authority. As for doing it for every half, listen, I've never known this to be part of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Question is, can we give exams while in i'tikaf?
Well, it's kind of harsh lecture as that. Exams during i'tikaf?
During this time, we have exams during this last 10 days.
They don't give discount. Maybe he wants to show mercy. I mean, it might be good, you know, because now is the last 10 days. The lecturer is so happy, you know, the questions will come very easy. Contrary to when you finish, you know, the Ramadan, the questions might come very harsh. Possible is possible. Yeah, possible is possible. But and if I'm to advise, I would say a person, if he can delay it and give people chance to get busy with the ibadat, that would be the best, inshallah. Yes. As-salamu wa rahmatullah. Allahumma ameen. The wives of Rasulullah say itikaf is for everyone. Allah says, "Antum aqifuna fi al-masajid," and itikaf is for everyone. Whatever is established for the brothers is also for the sisters. There is no difference in that. If we make a difference, then we are supposed to look for the evidence for this. That's number one. And number two, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make itikaf. Aisha used to be in itikaf. Zainab used to be in itikaf. You know. They used to be in itikaf, and if it wasn't halal, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi will definitely tell them it's haram. So a sister can do it, as long as the masjid is conducive for her, then no problem. She can go and do itikaf, just like anybody else.
And another question, what if a person, a Muslim, he dies in Ramadan, like he's not really a practicing Muslim, does he still have to go through hellfire first to enter Jannah, or does he go to Jannah straight?
We don't know. We cannot confirm Jannah or hell for anyone. Even if he says La ilaha illallah when he is dying, cannot say this one is going to Jannah, straightforward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at his attitude and his sins that he did not repent before death, Allah might punish him. And then later, he will take him to paradise. What we are sure is that if a person died saying that La ilaha illallah, I mean saying La ilaha illallah, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, you know, and he believes in that, that person will end up going to Jannah, no matter what. So he might be punished, but at the end of the day, he will go to paradise. But to say that this person who dies he doesn't need to go through the punishment. That's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can tell this.
Can a person work with a conventional assurance company? If not, and the person doesn't know the hukm due to ignorance, how should we advise him?
Tell him this is gambling, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to engage in gambling. He says, وَلَا تَعَوْنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ الْعُدْوَانِ. Yeah, although we are not doing it mubasharatan, but you are supporting the gamblers. Yeah, those conventional insurance, they are based on gambling and gharar. The Muslim is not allowed to support them in any means. So you should advise him through this masus that as a Muslim, you have to stay away from supporting anyone who is not doing righteousness.
Next question is, kunut
in wajib is wajib or not? No, it's not. It's not. It's sunnah sometimes. Sometimes, not all the time. Ibn Qudama and Shanan supported the opinion that says the best is to say that it is sunnah sometimes for a person to do qunut in witr only.
His teachings goes blatantly against the Quran, and he's on the Friday prayer, and he's giving the khutbah. And how do we confront this?
As long as he's Muslim, teaching against the Quran, as long as that person's the name, the title Islam remains on him, you can pray behind him. No problem with that. The only one that you're not allowed to pray behind him is a person that you know. This khatib, by his statements and his opinions and his activities, he goes out of Islam, then you're not allowed to pray behind him. Because his prayer is batil, yours also is going to become batil. But if he has some innovations, which you know that, yes, these are wrong Islamically, but still he is a Muslim, a wrongdoer. If he prays and he makes khutbah, the prayer is okay, and your prayer also behind him also will be okay. Yeah, so you're not supposed to pray behind the one that you know his bid'ah takes him out of Islam. Yeah, no matter what. Then you just have to look for another masjid. Yeah, to pray. And later on, if you can have access to him and advise him. Yeah. That's how we deal with this topic. But as I said, if he knows, you know that this person is kafir because of his statement, then you don't pray.
The bid'ah is regarding home loot. And so, does this negate the prayer?
No, it depends. If he says that homosexuality is halal, he's kafir.
Yes.
Kafir. If he says homosexuality is halal, or zina is halal, or drinking wine is halal, anything that he knows that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is haram, but he says to me is halal. Anything, whether it's big or small, we see it, you know, that person is kafir. I'm not supposed to pray behind him. No Muslim is allowed to pray behind him. Yeah. You just have to stay away from him because he has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah and come back to Islam once again. Yeah.
Sorry, my name. I read a hadith that Umar ibn al-Khattab was giving a speech, and then a woman interrupted him because he misquoted the Prophet.
Sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. So, in the case that someone on the Friday prayers is giving a khutbah that is blatantly against the teachings of the Quran, do we have to just sit and take it, or can we?
No, it depends on the situation. If you know that, yes, if I confront him and I tell him to stop doing, it will not create chaos in the community. It just in the masjid. Yeah, this one is fine. Somebody has to. Yeah, because this is Friday. And if I say that, let me wait until the end, and then I come and advise him, the people already left. And they already got the bad thing which he put in the yeah. Somebody comes and tell us that, yes, this is halal. No. Somebody has to tell him, no, this is not halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. Somebody must stand up and tell him. He come and say that homosexuality or zina is permissible Islamically. Somebody have to stand up in the masjid and tell him this, what you do, what you're saying is haram. It's against Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and that. Must. If we keep quiet, we're getting sin. And you know, people, there must be somebody who trusts him. And then they're going to go out of the masjid and say that, yeah, the imam says this and that, and everyone kept quiet, that means it's correct. No. Somebody has to talk to him. Yeah, as long as you are not going to get into that much trouble which you cannot handle, Somebody has to talk to him. And it depends actually on what he is saying. Because there are things, even if it is going to create chaos, it's better. You say it in the masjid where everyone knows, you know, even if the chaos is going to take place in the community, it's okay, it's better to have that chaos. Yeah, like these ones. These are so big. Somebody who says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a partner. You can't keep quiet. Yeah. We do have them in the past, you know. And somebody who legalized these haram things, you know, cannot keep quiet. What exactly is going to happen, it should happen, you know. We want it actually to happen so that the community will be aware more and more. Yeah. But if the matters are simple, they don't reach that big, you know, and there's not that much of impact in the community. And you know that if you do, you're going to create a big chaos in the community. This one you might pose a bit. But as you are mentioning, the one that as far as what you were mentioning is concerned, this one, somebody must stand up in the masjid and talk to the khatib. Yeah. That one is okay. Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf was praying to was making khutbah to the people. Either Al-Hajjaj or somebody. Subhanallah, and he made it very long until almost Asr. Somebody stood up and told him, As-Salah, As-Salah. And he got mad at him. He says, you're the one who will teach us how to pray. And a companion of the Prophet said, Amma hadha faqad adda ma'ali. He said, as for this one, he did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to do, which is to remind him, yeah, of what to do. Cannot keep quiet. Yeah. But if you are to find some other matters which a person can just keep silent, you know, for instance, the imam is making dua on the minbar and he raises up his hand. And you know that the sunnah is? The sunnah is this. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he makes dua on the minbar, he just raises up one thing, up. So one of the companions did not tell the khatib, no, stop raising up your hand. But he says, Maza the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He talked to the people after that. He said, Maza the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala an urafa isbahu. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never added on top of raising up his hand, his finger. That's it. Doesn't put them together. Just one finger. So this type of things, he keep it quiet. Yeah, because it doesn't affect the aqidah of anyone. It affects him also. Teaching people also wrong way to make it. But this one, yeah, he can tolerate. You know, if there is a conflict in the society, we can tolerate. We just keep quiet. We go to the imam and remind him, please next time when you do the khutbah, just do like this. Yeah. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good, you know, subhanAllah, because these days we have a lot of khutbah, you know. Everyone is khatib. Everyone's coming. The person who speaks, you know, the moment he speaks in the dunya, you know, everywhere, good, bad, we bring him to come and make khutbah. That member should be respected, you know. Very sensitive member. You know. Allah grant is good. So that's the hukum, inshallah. Yeah. Yes.
Next question is, are we doing sujood self when we have to do the sujood after the salam? Do we do salam again?
Yeah. Yeah. When you go for the sujood, you come back, you do, you sit down, no tashahud, but you just say salam. So when the sujood is sahaw, you do sujood qabli, you do sujood ba'di, both have a salam. Qabli is okay because you did not say salam yet, so you're going to say, but ba'di, you do the sujood first and then sit down and then say the salam. Why do you bring this question? Yeah, this is the issues which will not end. And Qamis al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ila nisfu saqihi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, izratul mu'mini ila ansafi saqihi aw ila nisfu saq. Qala fa in abayta fa arkhi. Qala wa la haraja baynahu wa bayna Al-Kabay. He said the cloth and the dress of a believer up to half of his shin. But there is no problem in letting it go between the shin, half of the shin, and the ankles. Okay, he said no problem. That's why they divided it into three types. The one that goes below the ankle, and the one that is above. The one that is above is the sunnah. The one that goes below is a rejected one by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last one is the one that covers the ankle. It doesn't go below, but reaches the ankle, it covers. This is the mantaqatul khilaf. Is it included or not? But the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ, between the saq and the kaab. Kaab is not included. Whatever comes before the kaab is the one that is included. That area, okay, from the half until the ankles, and that person stopped. You have a right to do that. That's sunnah. But to go and cover the ankle, the best opinion is the one that says this one is also rejected. So this is an issue nowadays, you know, with the Muslims, you know, who follows this. People think it's conservative, and there are some other opinion, and this is right. There are some other opinion that says it is only applicable on somebody who's doing it out of arrogance, out of khuyala, pride. But then if you're talking about khuyala, you should talk about khuyala in the Sharia. Sharia's perspective. What is khuyala? Arrogance in the Sharia. We have to take it from the Sharia, right? The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, he said, "Wa iyyaka wa isbal al-izar, fa innahu min al-makhila." Isu Abdullah, one of the Abadillah, he says, "Who is that?" He says, "Abdullah." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Abdullah." He says, "In kunta Abdullah, farfa izarak." If you are really Abdullah, raise up your garment. He did. He kept on pushing it up until the half of the sack. He said, "Okay, I'm sick." Why did he tell him this if it is not wajib, you know? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa iyyaka wa isbal al-izari, fa innahu min al-makhila." He said, "I warn you from doing the isbal, because isbal itself is khuyala." So the moment you have the thing covered, then you are considered Islamic as somebody who is arrogant and showing off. You don't need to say that, "Yeah, my intention is this." No, just having that, because he says, "Iyyaka wa isbal al-izari fa innahu min al-makhila." That's why he says, "Thalathatun la yukallimuhum Allahu yawm al-qiyamati la zakihim wa lahum adhabun alim." Number one, al-musbilu izarahu wal mannan wal munaffiqu aw munfiqu sil'atahu bil halif al-kadhib. The one who sells his the first one he started, he said, the one who al-musbil izarahu, the one who let his garment go below the ankle. Al-mannan, al-mannan, you know mannan? Yeah, the one who give you something and show up and tell you that I'm the one who's doing this and that. And the one who sells his good through the false oath. "Wallahi, I bought it at this price." And he knows that he did not buy it at that price. These ones, the issue is so big in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Allah says through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will not even talk to them. You get it? So when he says, "وَإِيَّاكَ وَإِسْبَالَ الْإِزَارِ فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْمَخِيلَ," we understand it. So this is the topic that doesn't end, you know. I think in the number of hours we talk about this, maybe millions of times. It doesn't end. Wherever you go, Muslims, we're still discussing this matter. So at the end of the day, I just come up with this advice that I always advise. Rather than saying, "He's right, he's wrong, he's right, he's wrong," why can't we just ask, "What was done by Rasulullah?" Yeah, that's it, because he doesn't accept mine. I don't accept his. He doesn't agree with me. I don't agree with him. But why can't we ask this question, Yani? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? Just do that one. That's it. He let it go down, just let it go down. And don't worry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took it up, just take it up. Same goes to any issue where you say, find people fighting, shouting, you know, the beard, issue of niqab, you know. I just have one question. What was it done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his wife? Yeah, that was the thing that Allah SWT has chosen for them. If wajib, not wajib, I don't care. What concerns me is, was it done by him? Yes. Because I try to convince him, he doesn't want to get convinced. He tried to convince me, I don't want to accept. But both of us accept Rasulullah. Okay, let's go, all of us, to him. Finish. What I did, which he is doing, Mazin would never come and tell me, "Why did you do that?" If he does what he did, I would never go to him and tell him, why are you doing this? Yeah, the ummah is not, it's not for this, you know, where you want to keep fighting all the time. Yeah, it's a very good question, but these are one of the issues that I don't think they will end. As long as human beings exist, this issue is going to remain in us. Yeah. You know, it will never be accepted. That is a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded somebody to go and pray again and make wudu also again. Yeah, even because of his bad. He has to pray again and he has to make wudu again. Ibn Qayyim was justifying why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even asked him to go and make wudu. Abu Dawood says in his book, whatever I keep quiet, then this is authentic narration. And this is one of the hadiths that Sakata and Abu Dawud. Abu Dawud narrated them and he kept quiet. That's mean to them, it is authentic. But there are many scholars who said the chain is not sound. You get an idea. But whatever the case might be, I mean, you can see to what extent, you know, the issue of the Isbal reaches. If the Prophet is asking him to re-pray again or even to make wudu again. You get it? But Wallahu Alam, most likely the closest opinion is the one that says the prayer is not gone, but he committed big sin for praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way.
Next question. This is a clarification, early question about the insurance there. So he's asking, my question is about insurance provided by the company. I informed my friend that it is not allowed for a Muslim to take any form of insurance. But he said the insurance that the company gives is from the company's own money and it's given free of charge. Even if I inform the company I don't want it, they won't increase my salary.
Or they are giving him free of charge.
Yeah.
They just call it insurance by name, right? I work with the company. I don't pay anything. The company gave me this privilege, right? So that's gift. You get it? If the company is going to just give without paying anything, I don't pay zero. The contract that I signed is that they will pay me this amount of salary. And I agree. And then the company decided to give me this benefit. That's okay. From their money, not from my money.
I have no idea about this insurance ruling. As foreign students, we have to get into an insurance program like a team talk. So what I know
is... Insurance is divided into two types. The one that you have no option, you have no choice, then you just do. Yeah. The one that is optional, you have a choice. You can say no. Yeah, these ones, you cannot go with it. You just have to stay away from it unless if they are Islam. Yeah, but the one that you have no option, like the school one for the students, like... in some countries, there is no way for you to have access to medication unless if you have the insurance. They will not even entertain you. You have to have that one. Yeah, like the car insurance that we do. Yeah, all of these ones you have no choice except to do. So wajib is to go with the lowest one. You have to go with the lowest one. You cannot just go and take the first party. You have to go with the lowest one. Unless if they design an Islamic insurance, which you are sure that these guys are Islamic, I don't know where they're coming from, but if this exists, yeah, then you can sign for it. Yeah. The issue is the one that you have a choice. You can say no. Can you go for it? No. You don't know.
Next question is, if a person has a sore throat and is fasting, can he do gargling?
Yes. No,
to salt water.
Just the one that goes to the throat.
Yeah.
And that's just drinking water by healer. You can just say, can he drink water or not? He can't. Rinsing the mouth is okay. But anything that goes to the throat, that's what breaks the fast. How can he control it? That's a joke.
When we receive the call of our parents in Sunnah prayer, do we talk and then continue the prayer?
No, it's gone. It's gone. Right after you cut it off to talk with somebody, that prayer is gone. When you come back to it, you have to start from the beginning.
So what if, for example, in we're in Jama'ah. And we hear our parents calling, we just pray from the Jama'ah and then go to our parents.
And this is wajib prayer?
No, sunnah.
And then that, you just break and go. Just break and go. Have to.
What if, for example, some people, they put their phone on the ground and then they notice their mother is calling?
Why do they put it? Are they praying or they are phoning, you know? That's wrong. You pray, you are supposed to stay away from distraction. Yeah, what he is doing is wrong. That's why the best is tell your parent, I pray. Sometimes you call when I'm praying. Sunnah. Do you allow me to continue? They say yes. They will say yes. And whenever they call, you're praying sunnah, you know that these are your parent, just ignore. Right after you finish, you go to them and tell them you are praying. Sometimes I'm in the classroom. Sometimes I'm giving lecture and you calling me. Do you allow me to continue to finish and then come back? Yeah. Well, probably they will say yes.
Next question. So could you please clarify and recite in Surah Al-Fatiha when praying behind the Imam?
Yes, the best is to read Surah Al-Fatiha if you're praying behind the Imam in all the rakat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihati kitab. No prayer is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if Fatiha has not been recited. This is the best opinion. After the Imam, right after the Imam's recitation.
I have a question regarding fermented drinks. You know, stuff, things like kefir have been made halal, but Imam Qardawi said that energy drinks, which had fermented, which had like under 1% alcohol content, he said energy drinks are okay, but many scholars do not allow non-alcoholic beer. So, because to me, alcohol is alcohol. What is the difference?
That's a correct... We don't focus on names and titles. We just focus on the fermentation. When the fermentation takes place, that drink is supposed to be haram. Any drink, any substance, anything that can cause the akal to be covered, that drink or thing is called wine, Islamically. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu muskirin khamrun." Every muskir is khamr. Wa kullu khamrin haram. And every khamr is haram. So every intoxicant is called wine, regardless of its nature. Pills, you know, and liquid things, you know, in the form of air, you know, somebody inhale. You know, as long as the akal will be gone, that is khamr. Islamically, if a person approaches it, he will go through the punishment of khamr. Yeah. So the focus is on the meaning. The nature of the thing, not on the titles and names. Everyone give titles. And there is a hadith also that says, Naha Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an kulli, what do you call, muskirin wa mufattir. Mufattir alladhi yajib bil futur. Things that a person will, if he drinks them, he will become so exhausted. Yeah. And it's not good for a person to take things that will just give him that energy. Anything that a person does which takes him out of his nature, it's not good for you. The scholar said it's wrong for a person to modify things. Live it when Allah, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a person. Taking natural things, no problem. But artificial things that are given to us, they have side effects which, subhanAllah, in the long future, a person might suffer from them. Yeah. You get it right? So focus on the meaning. Is it? Does it intoxicate? Yes. It doesn't matter. Whatever name they gave it, even one drop is haram Islamically.
Next question is, a person is listening to Quran or reading it. So if another person is there in the room and is engaged in his or her work, is it sinful for that person to not pay attention to the Quran?
No. He can continue with his work. Yeah. Just don't disturb that person. That's why he, the one who is reciting louder, he should make it silent.
Next question. Obsessive and recurrent thoughts of the sins have committed keep coming to my mind while in prayer or praising Allah. What has to be done?
Just ignore. Whenever they come, ignore them. They will come again. Ignore. They will keep coming. And try to focus. Pay attention to what you're reading, even if you don't know the meaning.
Next question.
inshallah, they will to be gone still soon. These questions are like, yeah, Juj or Majuj, they don't end. Okay. SubhanAllah, I don't know, yesterday I was exhausted a lot and I slept very late and I woke up for Suhoor and then they brought me to teach in the university. I have been fighting sleep until now, you know. So please tell the Yajuj or Majuj questions to stop coming, you know. Actually, I was using the Qiyamul Layl and the last 10 days just to disguise the reality. Otherwise, I just want to rest. last two questions.
For every fard salah, do we have to call out to adhan on our own schedule?
Yeah, it's better to call the adhan. Not have to, but it's better to call the adhan, even if you're alone.
Yeah. And you miss the jannah.
Call that.
You call the other and you come.
And you come. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inni araka tuhibbul ghanam wal badi." He said, "It looks like you love ghanam, sheep, and also you love the village life." He said, "When you are in your sheep, wa hadarat as-salah, the prayer time arrives." He says, "Fa'adhin, make adhan." He is alone. He said, "Make adhan." إنه لا يسمع صوت المؤذن إنس ولا جن ولا شيء إلا شهد له يوم القيامة. Nothing will hear the sound of the voice of the مؤذن, nothing except that is going to witness that on the day of judgment. The hadith of Salman al-Farisi, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you want to pray and you are alone, you make a qama and you pray, the two angels will pray with you. If you make adhan, you are alone, right? You make adhan and a qama, then angels will be sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you don't even see the end of them from both sides to come and pray jama'ah with you. That's very special jama'ah. But it doesn't mean you should always pray alone. You should go. Yeah, so you make that then, even if you're alone. Sisters, iqam, the sunnah in the case is the iqam. Adhan is not for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even Ummu Raqqa, Ummu Haram, the one that asked him permission to pray with the family at home, he sent the mu'adhin. Very old mu'adhin to make adhan for them on top of their house, you know, and then they pray. It's a very old man. Okay, so nowadays Amina Wadud, she says she prayed Jummah and she has a mu'adhin also without hijab. Mu'adhin, woman mu'adhin. Yeah, they prayed in the US, Jama'atan, and she is the khatib, also making khutbah. You know, that like the man does, you know. So she makes a khutbah, and her mu'adhin was a female with no hijab, no scarf. That's dunya al-ajib. They prayed in the church, because no masjid, even in the US, the sawar masajid in the US also don't accept them. They have to go to the church to pray. And they don't see free mixing a problem. Man here, woman here. Oh, man here, two sisters here. That's what one of our scholars said. That was the time that the imam doesn't need to say sawu sufubakum. Yeah, because everyone will come, you know. Next to him, they're all sisters. And they come to pray. Salah salamu alaikum.
So they just make a
qama. Huh?
They just make a qama, the sisters.
The sister will just make the qama, and that's it. Yeah. A qama is the best to make. Abdullah ibn Omar says, I will not stop them from dhikrullah. Because there are some scholars who said they should, even the qama is not for them. But Abdullah ibn Omar says, I will never stop them from dhikrullah. So a sister can just come Allahu Akbar with dhuhr prayer and just pray. You cannot, you should. You shouldn't. It's wajib to make both. But a sister can do without anyone. But if she does the adhan, inshallah, this is, I'm sorry, the qama, this is the best.
My last question.
No problem. You can ask more than that.
I understand that not any regular Muslim can takfir another Muslim. How much education do you
even the scholars also are not supposed to do the takfir too. And this is very heavy word and dangerous. If I look at that person who is sitting there, okay, alhamdulillah, there's nobody there. Yeah, but if there is somebody there and I tell him kafir, this word kufr will never fall down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَحَدُهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels to look and see that person, does he qualify or not? If he doesn't qualify, Allah will cast it back on me. So it's a very heavy word that a person should make sure that this person deserves to be called kufr. And that is something also we have to understand. That is kufr, that is act of kufr. A person might be acting the act of kufr, but he's not a kafir. Because kufr, belief has to be there first. Yeah, we tell him, brother, this action is kufr. What you're doing is kufr. I didn't tell him, brother, you are kafir. No, that's too heavy. Yeah, because he might be doing it, but he doesn't believe in it. Once he believes in it, then he becomes a kafir. But what he does is act of kufr, and he has to stop it immediately. If a person goes to conventional court and report his case there, what is he doing? Act of kufr. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, kufr and duna kufr, because Allah says, whoever take his case to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the kafirun. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, kufr duna kufr. It's a minor kind of kufr, unless if he believes in it. When a person comes to us and say, to me, this one is more justifiable than what Allah says. He is kafir, kufr, mukhrijun anil millah. He goes out of Islam immediately with no doubt. If I have doubt in his kufr, I also, my iman is doubtful. The other one, he says, to me, it's halal to go to that one. Then he goes out of Islam. But just following his desire. He knows it's haram, but he just did. He's not kafir, but he's acting the action of kufr. Yeah. So that's why I'm just making this correction, because even the scholars, they should be very careful before they label the person with the kalimat al-kufr.
Because in the West, we have a problem of people using their title and their status as a Muslim to spread bid'ah, and everyone is afraid to takfir them, and they're growing and getting power. And
yeah.
So I'm wondering, this has to be stopped. You know,
yeah, definitely.
Cannot be allowed to.
Yeah, you are absolutely 100% right. When a person is spreading the bid'ah, he has to stop. This one, the scholar said, al-mubtada, somebody who is spreading the bid'ah outside, you must stop him. And in the way he is doing, at first we go and talk to him, in secret. Yeah, brother, this is bid'ah, innovation, and you're not supposed to do. He's the one listening. And he kept on spreading the bid'ah. If he's doing the bid'ah within himself, then he's harming himself alone. But if he's spreading the bid'ah, showing the bid'ah to the community, then we have to also come down the community and tell the community that this person is this and that, so that people will stay away from him. It depends on which bid'ah he's doing. But whatever bid'ah he's doing, we have to stop him. But then whether we call him a kafir or not, it depends on which bid'ah, because not every bid'ah is mukaffira. The scholar divided the bid'ah into two categories. Bid'ah mukaffira and bid'ah mufassiqa. You have the bid'ah that makes a person fasik, but they don't take him out of Islam. Yeah, this one, we remind people, we tell them this person is mubtada. You know, if he's spreading the bid'ah and he's coming out, we tell them this person is mubtada and he's not supposed to do, and he's supposed to stay away from this immediately. You know, the same way he's spreading it, and the same way also we spread the awareness. But can we call him a kafir? We look into the bid'ah he's calling upon. Somebody call upon that bid'ah you mentioned, this is a kafir. Yeah, when I talk to them, I tell them this person goes out of Islam. Because he is, let's say, assalamu alaikum. Okay. Because he is going against what he called Islam. So we don't, which one I'm talking about? The one that is kufr. Yeah, we tell the community, this person is kafir because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this and that. And he is saying the opposite, and he says he believes in it. Do you get the idea? He tells zina is halal. And a woman can marry herself even without mahram because she's living in the Western community. Eating dogs is okay because people eat dogs and pigs in that place, you know. And there are some people who give this fatwa. If he says it's okay and he meant his word, this is kufr. Yeah, because the Rasul says khinzir is haram and he says it's okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said batil, 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 and he says it's halal. That's kufr. You're going to tell him, brother, this is kufr. You know, you have to stay away from it. He said, I know. Then I have a right to tell people that this person disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have to inform anyone on Allah.
You don't need to be an alim to do it?
You don't need to be an alim. No, that's because you know that this is kufr, right?
Yes.
That's the ilm. Because ilm is subjective, depending on what are you talking about. Okay. I learned that saying salam is Sunnah. In Islam, after La ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah and the Tawheed, the only thing I know is that saying salam to others is Sunnah. Replying them is wajib. That's the only knowledge I have. Can I share this knowledge with others? Yes. I don't need to become an alim comprehensively for me to give da'wah. Whoever says this is wrong, companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never did that. He used to take from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and immediately go and give the da'wah. The whole thing he knows is this. Yeah, but he shared that one. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know one ayah, you convey the ayah to others. So when it comes to reminding people about batil, you just have to be sure that what he does is batil. Then it is wajib upon you to remind him. Yeah, unless if it is going to come back to you with harm that is bigger than what he is doing, then the Sharia will ask you to keep quiet. This is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to when he says, وَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ مِثْقَالِ خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُكَرًا فَلِيَجَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. The least you can do is to hate it. Yeah, but the best and the wajib is to use your hand and stop it. But sometimes you can't, then you speak about it. Sometimes also you are in a position that you cannot speak about it, then you hate it with your heart. Yeah, but Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar doesn't necessitate knowledge of everything. It is necessary to know whether this is wajib or haram, does it? It is necessary for you to know that what he does is wrong Islamically. Even if that is the only knowledge you know, then you have to go and remind him. Good question, actually. Thank you very much.
Last two questions.
Okay. Last time he says last two questions, and now the one of them was born. Okay.
Just if I have an investment plan, but in the investment plan it says if I die or I'm in critical illness, the beneficiaries get a sum of money. Is this halal?
This is agreement between you, the members in the investment, right? Yeah, that's okay, inshallah. This is a business, right, between you guys. Yeah, and part of the appreciation, they want to support him, his family after he dies. That's okay, inshallah.
Sheikh, a sister has asked, if while in salah, your tears reach your mouth, does it break your fast?
Your
tears?
She has to spit them out. If she swallowed them, she broke the... Reaching the mouth, no problem, but she has to spit them out. Yeah, the tears, when they come, they are external things. You know. A person has to throw them away. Yeah, even the saliva. When the saliva comes out, if a person takes it back in, his fasting is gone. Bil ijma, by consensus of all of the scholars. So what do you think about something that comes from the eyes? Even the one that was originally from the mouth, but came out and then somebody brought it out. Out means... Out of him completely, not the one inside the mouth. The one inside the mouth, he can swallow it. But he is out of the person in his hand or on the ground, but he decided to become a character and swallow it again. Yeah. By consensus of all the scholars, this one is gone. So he shed the tears and they come to his mouth and then he says, this is part of him, took him back. Yeah. The fast is gone. Yeah. But he can spit it out. Yeah. This one is okay.
Last question. It's a follow-up question about the assurance. If a person who works in assurance company, his income, is it haram if he's unaware of the hukum due to negligence?
Yeah, the income is haram. Any haram business, the income of that haram business is haram.
Even though he doesn't know the hukum?
He should ask first. Because in Islam, you cannot do business without knowing what Allah SWT wants in it. There's a negligence. And negligence doesn't benefit a person. When I want to do a business, I must go and ask the scholars about the hukum of Allah in that business. Otherwise, I will be sinning. Yeah. I can't keep quiet and just say, oh, I don't know. No, it doesn't work. I must ask. Yeah.
So when they get to know about this, how should they?
They have to get rid of whatever left. Which is the profit. They can take the capital they invested, if they have any capital. So this one is their right.
They're doing a job in the company.
No problem. I'm just granting him additional benefit. If they have any capital, they invest it. Also, they can get their capital. If it is just working with that company, he has to get rid of whatever comes to him through the haram way. Gotta take it. Yeah. ما بني على باطل فهو باطل. Please tell me, is all finished?
Finished from our side.
Yeah. بسم الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Please don't forget. Tomorrow I think is the beginning of the last 10 days of Ramadan. Get ready and take the balance of what left, inshallah. And don't worry about the past. The past might not be good. You might be lazy in the past. You know, alhamdulillah, we are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never be late. As long as you're willing to come back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will welcome you, inshallah. So please remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be very, very, very hard working in that. He's always like that, but he add extra more in the last 10 days of Ramadan. If you don't have classes, I advise to turn night into day, day into night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be alive at night, all the night. You know, he used to not sleep. Yeah. And rest in the daytime, but if you have classes, sleep at night. Yeah, sleep at night so that you will not go to the classes and sleep when the lecturer is giving the lecture. So this is my advice for you, and don't forget yourself. You have a lot of need, especially looking for the hidayah. You know, this dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Yet ask Allah to give you thabat until the time you meet. It's really important. Living in our time, one of the most important ad'iyah is Allah to give you thabat, to remain in the religion until you meet. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma.